The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning. Welcome to Saturday. It's Andy Brownell, and it's time for our regular Saturday morning program with the Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. Normally Robin Gwaltney joining us, of course, but she is, as I always like to say, on assignment this weekend. So back to the microphone. I'm very happy to welcome Zach Pagel, also, of course, a member of Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. Good morning, Zach.
Morning, Andy. Happy to be here.
Well, good to hear from you. As always, when we get together, we're talking about real estate here in southeastern Minnesota. And I guess maybe to start it all off, maybe you can tell us what's kind of going on out there right now.
Sure. So I've definitely been a strong start to the year here within the Gwaltney Group. Last year was very strong for us as well. I ended the year with over $100 million in sales around the Rochester area, making us Rochester's number one team by sales volume, which we're extremely proud of. And that momentum is carrying well into this year. With multiple clients under contract, multiple listings underway, and a busy spring that looks to be ahead. So really excited about what the market's looking like and happy to dive into how that is affecting buyers and sellers looking within the Rochester area.
All right. I mean, we're coming off of what is usually a seasonal lull from the holidays. People, I guess, tend to, you know, they're busy, right?
Indeed, and our cold temperatures this week certainly have not been the most advantageous to go out and look at homes in either, but what that does mean is that the buyers that are out looking are facing less competition, certainly, and for sellers, they know that the buyers coming to see their home in those negative 10, 15, 20 degree temperatures are people that must have serious interest in purchasing.
That's part of it, right? Life goes on regardless of, you know, market conditions. People take new jobs, they move to be closer to family, they, you know, all sorts of different reasons for changing homes, regardless of what time of the year it is.
Indeed, we can never change life's timing, so help folks at all points when a real estate transaction makes sense.
And, you know, when talking to Robin, and now you, of course, Zach, I always, you know, the back of my mind, I know it'd be really uncomfortable to go out there in the sub-zero cold and trudge up to a home and look at it. But that, from the buyer's perspective, I imagine it might be advantageous for you because last I heard there were still well over 200 homes listed in the Rochester area.
Certainly. It is a great time to be out there as a buyer, particularly from a competition standpoint when looking at what happens in our Rochester market each spring, which is, of course, the residency match day. So as soon as mid to late March hits, there's a huge influx each year of additional buyers, particularly within that sub $400,000 space that is most competitive and where most of our Rochester inventory is sitting as well. So being out there and being prepared with that pre-approval so that if the right home pops on the market, we're able to get into it right away and make an offer facing less competition can really benefit a buyer.
You mentioned pre-approval, and I don't think I've talked to Robin about this for quite a while. What is the process of getting pre-approved for somebody who is listening and not, you know, hasn't tried to get out there and get into the marketplace?
Sure. Great question, Andy. So a lot of folks, when they're first curious about looking for a home, do tend to take on that mentality that, hey, I'm not going to really do anything until I find the right place. And then once I do, I'll talk to my bank and get whatever I need to together to make an offer. And that can be a huge detriment when that time actually comes. Because sometimes the matter of days or even hours can be the difference between getting a home or not, in addition to facing competition from multiple offers versus being first in line, which can certainly benefit a buyer as well. So in terms of getting that pre-approval, what buyers usually looking at is working with a bank that they maybe already have a relationship with, or with one of our trusted lenders that our team has worked with successfully in the past as well. And they're going to take a look at a lot of different factors. Most importantly, your current income. So if you're going to be purchasing that home on your own or with a spouse, they'll look at those incomes either on a standalone basis or combined. They'll also run your credit and look at any debts that may be out there to combine those two factors and figure out what a monthly payment could look like for you. And from there, depending on interest rates, back into a total pre-approval amount. A lot of people do face concerns in the pre-approval process about their credit being pulled and how that's going to impact their credit score. The great news is if there is an impact, it's minimal, a factor of a few points at most. And getting a pre-approval with one lender does not stop you from shopping with multiple lenders across that home search process as well. All of those credit inquiries are grouped as one on a credit report. So there's no penalty for a buyer or potential buyer talking to multiple lenders to figure out who's a great fit and who has the best interest rate.
So you get this pre-approval. It gives you an idea of how much a lender would consider borrowing, but that may not be the number that you'd be comfortable with.
Correct. Oftentimes that pre-approval is going to be for a higher amount than maybe someone is looking to spend, especially on a monthly payment basis. So a lender is able to show you, if there's a particular home you're interested in, exactly what your payment would look like with the down payment you're looking at.
Okay.
And factors like property taxes can certainly swing that amount as well. Insurance. So if you have a monthly payment in mind that you want to tell a lender up front and say, hey, I know I might qualify for more, but I don't want to spend more than $2,500 for a month, including my property taxes and insurance, they can back into the exact purchase price that would look like so that you're out there shopping for homes that do meet the criteria you're looking for.
Do these pre-approvals expire?
Typically, they're good for about 3 months or so.
Okay.
If a buyer's shopping for longer than that, it's very easy to update them and does not typically require another hard credit check. It's just making sure that person is still employed with the same income that was verified previously.
Okay. And that usually is producing, a couple pay stubs?
Exactly. And I guess another great point off that, too, is once that pre-approval is in place, lender's going to mention it, but we always mention it on the agent side as well. It's just for buyers not to make any significant changes with taking on new debt that can affect their overall credit or just the debt-to-income ratios that are calculated on that pre-approval. So sometimes folks get excited to get out there and buy a piece of furniture that might look great in a new home or purchase or lease a new car. But it is important to try to avoid taking on those type of expenditures to the extent possible when you know a home purchase is in that next, say, six-month time frame.
Yeah, because that would create the nightmare, right, that you had the pre-approval and you went and made the offer on the home and then the whole mortgage process falls apart because your financial picture changed in between.
Exactly, and unfortunately, we have seen that in folks who have worked with other agents before who did not receive that advice and get all the way up until something like the week of closing and figure out they unfortunately can't close on the property.
Oh, that would be the definition of disappointment right there.
Agreed.
Okay. Well, we're talking Rochester real estate this Saturday morning with Zach Pagel of Gwaltney Group, Gwaltney Group Remax Results. We'll return after this quick break on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.895. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning and welcome back. News Talk 1340, KROC AM, 96.9 FM. Zach Pagel with Gwaltney Group Remax results. And for Robin today, bringing us up to date on things happening in the Rochester area real estate market as we inch closer to the spring market, which is where things always get interesting. But right now, as you pointed out, there's great opportunities to maybe, I don't know, get a little bit more bang for your buck.
Perhaps. There are. Certainly that, and also just have a bit more of a longer time frame to make a decision, which can feel better for a lot of buyers, especially on that first purchase. Right now, a lot of the properties we're seeing are sitting out there for a few weeks before they do receive an offer. So if you see a home you like right when it gets on the market, it might be possible that you have the weekend to think about it before pulling the trigger on such a huge decision. That said, even with the properties that are out there for a few weeks or even a few months, our old adage in real estate, especially here in Rochester, is that once that first offer comes in, it's not surprising at all if you do see more come in as well, even after being on the market for that amount of time.
Isn't that funny how that would work?
Yep, a lot of folks.
The floodgates open.
Yep, kind of everyone sitting there waiting to see who bites first. And then once they know, hey, someone else is coming after it, I say I better throw my hat in the ring as well and see what we can do.
And Robin and I have talked about this a lot. Me getting the old saying, long in the tooth. I've always watched the marketplace just out of habit. And when we went through the pandemic and the crazy things happened with, offers coming in within minutes of a listing, sometimes certainly within a day, especially in those properties that were in that sweet spot as far as price ranges are concerned. And now we're getting to a market that's more normal, and that, it may be a month or two before a home moves, depending on the price range and other factors. And I wonder, getting sellers and buyers used to what used to be normal after going through a period of anomaly, I would say, in a market, it must be a little bit challenging for you as a realtor.
Absolutely. A lot of sellers have seen that market of 2-3 years ago and, are always crossing their fingers that multiple offers were coming that first weekend. But what we really try to do on the listing side is price the home appropriately so that the seller is not leaving money on the table, and that the home is going to be exposed to all possible buyers out there, and attract an offer for as close to that asking price as possible, which across the board we are continuing to see with the pricing strategy we use. Buyers too, they do, see homes out there towards that month or 45-day mark and say, hey, can we get a great deal on this and come in quite a bit lower, which isn't necessarily the case either, because like you said, that amount of time on the market is indicative of a normal market, just maybe not the market that we've seen that was gangbusters. Yeah. And
gangbusters and very, very stressful for everyone involved.
Indeed, a lot of broken hearts across that time and tough decisions for sellers to make as well.
Now, my son was in the market at that time, and he made a home purchase while that was all happening. And it was nerve-wracking from my perspective watching he and his wife go through that. And I wouldn't have slept well, that's for sure.
No, and that's one thing. Two people have been able to get inspection contingencies back inside of offers, appraisal contingencies.
Right.
Some of those things that do help you sleep a little bit better during that period when you're waiting to close, and after you close as well, knowing that you got a solid home and that, the investment is strong as well.
Yeah, Robin and I have talked often about the importance of that inspection. And I know of a couple, not in this market, this is northern Minnesota, that during the pandemic they made a rushed offer on a, what they considered their dream home. without an inspection, and within weeks of moving in, discovered that the well was no good.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your nightmare scenario.
Indeed.
Yeah, tens and tens of thousands of dollars to remedy, and, you know, a young couple. But that is the beauty of the market right now, right? You have that luxury of pausing and saying, let's make sure this is the right house for us.
Indeed, and it is a great period of time during that inspection period just to get all the ducks in a row and make sure it really is somewhere you want to be for the period of time you intend to live in that property.
And all indicators are that luxury may be a little bit more scarce in just a matter of weeks, because the spring market, it's almost February.
It is. Hard to
things start happening fast, right?
It sure does. As I said before, March particularly is where match day occurs, and you really get that floodgate opening of buyers. But even in February, a lot of folks that are coming here to Mayo to interview for those different residency programs are already starting to look at homes just to be fully prepared if they do end up matching here. So definitely starts to pick up steam as soon as February 1 hits.
Rochester, I know it's not completely unique. I'm sure there are other medical-dominated communities, or at least heavily influenced communities, but it certainly adds a different dimension to the real estate market locally, doesn't it?
It does. As you said, there are a lot of markets across the country that are very healthcare dominated, so do have that consistent flow of medical learners that are coming and spending that 2 to 4+ year period. But one thing unique to Rochester is the medical tourism aspect. So if you're a resident or other learner or employee coming here, you're not just competing with folks like yourself, but you're also competing with investors who are looking at properties to house everyone who's coming here for care, since such a large portion of Mayo's patients are coming from other areas and need places to stay while they're in Rochester.
Well, we need to take another break, Zach. When we come back, we can talk about the spring market and things that you can do as a member of Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, to, I guess, position yourself either as a buyer or a seller in a better than perhaps others to get that home or sell your home for the price you wish to get for it. We'll do that when we return with more Zach Pagel with Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9
Wellness.
To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Saturday morning on News Talk 1340 KROC AM, 96.9 FM with Zach Pagel, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, in for Robin this week, who's enjoying some much warmer weather than us, by the way. She times her cruises, and I know it's a work-related cruise for continuing education, but she timed it quite well this time.
Yeah, I couldn't have picked a much better for Rochester.
All right, but we were talking about the spring market and the, I guess, opportunities and challenges that can arise with it. And I imagine from a buyer's point of view, it puts you into the situation where you might be in competition and have to make that decision fairly quickly.
Yes, it does.
Well, what could you tell your buyers that you represent to prepare them, or how can they be prepared to, I guess, have the best possible offer?
Sure. So in working with each of our buyers, we do sit down for a consultation to talk about offer strategy and some of the different firms we can put inside of an offer to stand out from other offers that might be right around the same price on a home. So things like your inspection contingency, your appraisal contingency, earnest money, who you're using as a lender can all make a difference when seller and their agent are screening different offers to figure out which is the best overall for that seller to accept. But I think one of the largest things that our clients benefit from and working with the Gwaltney Group and our agents here is our relationships across the Rochester market. So as I mentioned before, over $100 million closed in volume last year. That creates a lot of strong relationships we have with every agent here in the Rochester market who knows when they receive an offer from the Gwaltney Group that we know what we're doing. We're going to be positive and easy to work with and ultimately have buyers that are ending up at that closing table and making sure the transaction proceeds. And that can make a huge difference if we think of an offer being the exact same and there's, you know, five of them out there from different buyers. And some agents who have written those offers have sold, you know, a home in the past year. And they're working with lenders that the listing agent hasn't heard of as well. Having an offer from a group like ours with the lenders that we work with that are very experienced as well can really provide a lot more confidence that has that huge intangible value of knowing that the transaction is going to go through.
That assurance that, yeah, things will happen smoothly rather than perhaps a big hiccup along the way that could derail it, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. If we think of our Mayo analogies here, it's knowing that you're receiving an offer from the equivalent of that surgeon who's performed thousands of surgeries. So you're a lot more confident that they're going to know what they're doing versus, you know, the residents like we talked about that are coming in brand new where, you know, still certainly people that are great to work with, but don't give you that same peace of mind right away that there's that bench of experience there.
I imagine, too, the lender. Knowing the other side of the table knows that the lender that you're dealing with is somebody who is familiar with the local process, I guess. I mean, to put it in some sort of context, that would give them a decent piece of confidence to represent the buyer and say, hey, this one looks great.
Absolutely. And we really do work hard to put together that full winning team that, like you said, does include a strong lender. Some buyers do initially work with some of the online banks out there where, you know, you're doing everything through an internet form. You don't have a specific contact you're working with. And as you mentioned as well, they're not here in the local market. That can put buyers at a disadvantage versus having, you know, a local presence, an office you can stop at, someone you can pick up the phone and ask questions to when something pops up. So those all are factors that do play into the strength of an offer.
So if you're on the other side of the table and you're a person in this market who's thinking about putting your home out in the spring market when all of this activity occurs, how do you, I guess, position them in the best way?
Sure. So to position them in the best way, really talking a lot about the same factors that we're trying to position our buyers to make strong offers as well. So teaching sellers of what to be looking for and what can really make a difference across the offer and transaction process that might not be apparent right away. So when offers do come in, our clients are very well trained already so that, you know, that process isn't a surprise or something that feels rushed. We really do pride ourselves in making sure that that education takes place up front so that once those do come in, sellers feel comfortable making an informed decision.
Is there, I guess, I don't know, a strategy to have a property more likely to get the multiple offers and have that little bidding war?
Sure. So some properties do put themselves in that coming soon status you've seen out there. Just almost to provide a teaser out there that the home's going to be hitting the market, but isn't available for showings yet. So doing that, you know, a week out from when you actually want showings to start taking place on your home can be beneficial, especially if we look at that period like we talked about where you know, a match day is about to happen. You want folks who are ready for that match process to start, to be able to see that the home is coming, but then perhaps have your showing start a week from that match day so that all of these newly matched residents from across the country can start to schedule their trips in to see the property. Factors like that can make a difference. Certainly when an offer comes in as well, can try to increase the likelihood of multiple offers by being proactive as a listing agent, picking up the phone to anyone who has seen that property and making sure that you're figuring out exactly what interest was out there and leaving no stone unturned for your seller.
All right. Well, Zach, I appreciate you taking time on your Saturday morning to chat with us and fill in for Robin while she's out frolicking in the sun. I'll have to give her a bad time when she gets back. But you enjoy the rest of the weekend and good luck preparing for the spring market.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to returning again soon.
Fantastic. Zach Pagel, Waltney Group, RE/MAX Results. You're on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.